This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz, Mark Casey. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Voice a little rough this morning, Naz. Yeah. So we'll see if the halls and the peppermint tea can keep me going for the next 55 minutes. I feel fantastic.
I'm sure you'll be all right.
We'll give it our best shot. I feel fine. Like I said, we'll get the halls and the peppermint tea to see if we can keep those vocal cords going. Joining us this morning also, former Toronto Maple Leaf, and especially this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Mr. Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well, guys. It's been a great weekend.
Yeah, I hear you got into a little scrap on the weekend. Is that true?
Yeah, how did you guys hear about that? I didn't know if there was any televised.
It's all over social media.
Anyways, to let our listeners know, we're going to have... obviously, we got to talk about last night's Leaf performance or lack of performance against the Ottawa Senators. And my partner, Morgan Riley, at the end of that game decided he wanted to take matters in his hands. So we'll talk about that shortly. Also, at the bottom end of the hour, it's Super Bowl Sunday. One of the great sporting events in the world goes tonight in Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. And so will I get a chance to talk to the voice of Toronto Argonauts, Mike Hogan, about NFL. But Lou, rumor has it, although I don't know if it's a rumor, I think it's fact, it's all over social media, that you and there was an NHL alumni, what do you want to call it, Lou, an exhibition game down at City Hall yesterday. It was the Blues against the Whites. From what I could tell, you were wearing 15 on the Blues, and Kiprios was on the Whites, and guys had a little session together there. Does Zoomer Radio have to issue a challenge to Sportsnet to set the score straight there, Lou?
No, I thought it was a fun game. Nick did a job that he had to do. He ran me into the boards. It was a clean check. We had a little
The boards in an exhibition game. I gotta think you weren't entirely expecting that, were you?
Come on, Wally. You're talking to me here, okay? In those games, I would expect somebody else on the other team expecting it for me on the same kind of version. And Nick came up to me afterwards and said, you know what, maybe some of the Leafs should take a look at this game.
I hear they want to sign you both to a contract.
There's an
idea. I don't
know
if I can make it up in the ice, up and down the ice once the way these guys skate anymore.
Anyways, sounds to me like you're no worse for wear. So I did make an offer to come and defend your honor and issue a challenge to Kiprios, but you respectfully declined my offer of assistance, from what I understand.
You know what, Wally? It was a great day, in all aspects. The weather was beautiful. We just went out there and had fun. And that was the whole ideal thing about it. And I was a late addition. Tommy Fergus bailed out earlier in their week. And more or less they call on their relief boy. And I'm always around to help them out.
Well, good for you. And I know we're joking, Lou. I know.
You're lucky it wasn't Ty Domi.
Well, you know what? I signed a big hat yesterday that could have fit Ty's head.
Oh, well, we'll leave that one alone. Anyways, it sounds like it was all, you guys had a lot of fun. You all did it for a good cause, and congratulations to all you guys who participate. And I'm happy to hear that you're not on crutches this morning, Lou. And
no.
And you're no worse for wear. So we will respectfully decline our challenge to Kyprios. We'll leave him alone. But if I was there and you were my teammate, Lou, I'd come and maybe do a little face wash, just to let him know that my teammates need to be protected. Anyways,
I would have loved that. Maybe. You know what? Maybe I think Morgan Rielly was watching that later on in the game.
Yeah,
and he'd take kind of things into his own hands.
Yeah, let's segue over to that. We obviously had a little bit of fun with this with you and Kyprios, and we're joking around. And you know, God bless you guys are still out there, and we can have some laughs at your expense. That's I guess that's what it's all about. You guys are doing it for a good cause. Congrats to the both of you, and all to the other the rest of the Leafs alumni. Naz, what happened last night? Naz, what happened last night? I'm going to give my voice a little bit of a rest. Go ahead.
What happened last night?
Yeah.
Well, Morgan Rielly, at the end of the game, cross-checked. I can't remember who the player was.
Ridley Graves.
Yeah.
Guy I've never heard of, but go ahead.
Yeah, and for taking a slap shot 3 feet outside the net. And you know, in the old days, they used to do that too. Take care of business, and that's what happened last night. But Morgan Rielly, such a calm player, you don't expect it from him.
You know, Lou, your thoughts? I guess in the old days they used to call that a hot dog move. I don't blame Rielly for, you know, I mean, you can't put up with that crap. You know, you're trying, you know, you're embarrassing my team. You're going to embarrass my team. There's consequences. I'm not so sure Riley's the guy that you would expect. He's such a mild, you know, seems like a mild-mannered guy. I've spent some time with him. Great kid. But God bless him. He says, I'm not worried. You know what? But I think more than anything, Lou, I'm going to ask you to comment on what the Ottawa player did. And then it wasn't just about that slap shot. It was frustration, I think, over the game, and perhaps, you know, Leafs wasn't that great of a week for them. I just think a certain level of frustration boiled over, and he was, that's the guy he picked on. Lou?
You're absolutely right. It was an unexpected move from him. I didn't think that Rielly Greig did anything wrong other than, you know, I just wanted to more or less send it to the Leafs. But what I didn't like is Mr. Sheldon Keefe. And I'm not even going to call him Mr.
Be nice, Lou. Be nice. You can call him Mr. It's okay.
And that's why I'm not, I'm not saying anything. The comment that he made after the game, he said it was appropriate. Coming from a coach, I think that crosses the line a little bit. And then he sends out, he's shorthanded, and he sends out Ryan Reeves.
Oh, you mean for the last 5 seconds?
In the last 5 seconds of a game. That's what really bothered me.
That's old-time hockey, isn't it?
it's old-time hockey. I don't even think old-time hockey would have done that, only because they were killing a penalty with 5 seconds left. Mind you, old-time hockey, they probably would have had their five toughest players on the ice at that time, and the Leafs only would have had four. So I'm not sure how smart he was with doing that. But again, at the end of the day, Craig, and I think Morgan Rielly went to a little bit of more of an extreme. He did. He might be getting 5 games or more for that. He cross-checked him
in the head. He's going to get some time. And before I do want to continue the discussion, but I do want to let our listeners know, we had a special show last week on the 66-67 Toronto Maple Leafs, and they were awarded the NHL Alumni Man of the Year Award. Coming up in about 7-8 minutes, the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf of all time, the Conn Smythe winner, trophy winner from that team, David Keon. Thrilled that we're going to have him on shortly. And I did want to let our listeners know about that. Certainly a privilege to have Mr. Keon join us. Okay, let's go back to Morgan Riley. He's getting some time. I don't see how you don't. He took, from what I could tell, there's a cross-check to the head, Lou, Naz.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were looking for some evidence that he was cross-checking him in the shoulder and the stick rode up into the head. So his initial target wasn't the head, but that's where it ended up. You know, I guess depends which side of the aisle you're looking at that, but I sort of saw him took a shot at his head, didn't he, Naz?
Yeah, it looked that way, but 5 games, I don't think he'll get 5. I think he'll get about 2 or 3 at the most. Because isn't there something under the Players Association that you're only allowed a certain amount of games?
I think you're allowed up to 5 without an in-person hearing or something like that. We went through this. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Who's the guy that...
with McCabe, right?
Oh, I can't remember.
No, I know you're talking about right across the ice.
It was that brutal hit. Who was it? It was a brutal hit, and I said, you know, the guy should have got 25 for it. Memory's escaping me right now. I'll have to Google it after at the intermission or at the break. But I think Riley, based on recent precedent, not that precedent makes a hell of a lot of difference when it comes to director of player safety. I'd like to think it's only going to be 2 games because, I mean, he's got, Riley's got an impeccable record from that point of view. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit worried it's going to be 5. I'm worried it's going to be 5, Lou.
If it's in person, I think the minimum is going to be 5. And I know he's got a clean record. I was just shocked that he went for the head. And it is a clear shot to the head, and it goes down into his neck. The shoulders were not there. There was no way that he cross-checked them across the shoulders and the stick went up. I'm really shocked that he did that to the extent that it happens.
Yeah, it's out of character for Morgan Riley, the Morgan Riley that we've watched. It's understandable in the circumstances, although I say the reaction is understandable. The shot to the head, I can't justify that. I'm sorry, even though he's one of our own. in today's world, you just can't take a shot to somebody's head. He could have got seriously injured. You can end a career, and it's not part of a hockey play. It happened. It's in some ways. Was it Dale Hunter?
Dale Hunter, yeah.
And Turgeon?
Turgeon, yeah.
Where it happens after a play and you go headhunting after the play?
He got 40.
I'm not going to call what Morgan Riley did headhunting because it happened like instantaneously.
He got 30 games or something like
that. Yeah, it happened sort of instantaneously. It wasn't, he had to chase him down the ice to do it. But I'm struggling to find ways to defend it, but I can't. I'd really love to say he doesn't deserve a suspension, but I can't. It's an argument I'm finding a really tough time making, guys.
And you know what? The Players Association will have nothing to do with this decision. Morgan Riley, when the sentence is given down, if it is an in-person meeting, he can appeal it, and then it could be lowered. But right now, there's no way that the Players Association can get involved with any with meeting that he's going to be going through with player safety.
Yeah. Got a couple of minutes before we get David Keon on.
Let's talk about the goaltending situation.
Go ahead, Naz.
I think Toronto needs to move for a goalie very quickly, and I think they should go after...
The kid in Calgary?
The kid in Calgary, yeah.
Markstrom. Lou, this wasn't a great week for the Leafs. Sub 500. They haven't been great since they came back from the All-Star break. You look at the standings this morning. They're in fourth place in the Atlantic. They're tied for Detroit for the wild card. They've got the Islanders about 4 points back. They can't afford they can't afford two bad weeks. They're going to have to grind to make the playoffs. They can't afford any slumps. not the greatest position to be in. Not where we would have expected this Toronto Maple Leaf team. They're certainly not meeting expectations. How concerned should we be, Lou?
I think you should be very concerned. Because when you get 66% of your scoring from the Big Four and they don't score, your acquisitions that you made in the summer haven't panned out, and Bertuzzi and Domi, your defense is getting slower and slower. I saw that Mark Giordano sat out last night. TJ Brody's not the quickest guy at foot. McCabe hasn't played that well. And when you're going to depend on Morgan Rielly to play 20 to 25 minutes, and now that with this suspension looming over his head, if I was a Leaf fan, I'd be really concerned, because they really have, they've got no pieces that they can trade to make this team any better, and they're right against the salary cap.
Last word before we go to break, Ness.
Well, the Leafs have quite a bit in the salary cap, because they Klinger was $4.5 million, I think. And why not move Bertuzzi at 5.5 in a trade and get a proper goalie in that? Because without a good goalie, it's like a quarterback. If you don't have a good quarterback, you're done. And if you don't have a good goalie, you're done. And we don't have a good goalie right now.
Yeah, if we've got to go the rest of the season with Samsonov and Martin Jones, I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, Wall's not coming back. I think he's on the injured reserve again. So,
anyways, they'll have to figure out a way to overcome that. Anyways, we're going to take it to break. And when we come back, the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf of all time, Mr. David Keon. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out the Toronto store on Devonport.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout-out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto and live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf of all time, the incomparable David Keon. Good morning, David. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Wally. How are you?
My voice isn't the best this morning, David, and Naz and I have decided after the show we're going to go to my place and take a shot of David Keon whiskey.
That'll fix you up.
I'm looking forward to that one. Our listeners may not remember we did a show with you. There's a special Weiser's whiskey out celebrating NHL alumni. And David Keon, you've got your own, and it's one of my prized possession. I've got two of them personally signed by you. So I think it's time to break one open today, David.
That would be good. That's what they're for.
Suitable occasion. David, we were thrilled to see you in Toronto last week at the All-Star Weekend. We were thrilled that the NHL Alumni Association, Glenn Healy, and all the good people over there, in their wisdom, decided that in 2024 they were going to give the Keith Magnuson Man of the Year Award to the 66-67 team. We got to see quite a few of you there, the ones that are still with us. Of course, you won the NHL Alumni Man of the Year Award last year. In 2023, you weren't able to actually pick it up. It was in South Florida. You weren't able, but
we had COVID, and it was 60 miles away. We couldn't go, but we were able to go 1,500 miles away to get to Toronto. So that was nice. I was pleased that we were honored, and I was happy to be there with the remaining team members.
Just before I turn over to Naz and over to Lou, David, you sort of just touched on it. What did this mean to you personally?
It was nice to be or to see the guys that are still alive from that team. That was a special group of guys who did something special. And over the last few years, we've lost a number of the guys from that team. So there were five of us there. Ronnie and Frank couldn't make it, but I spoke to Frank, and he had just had a new knee put in, so he was unable to come. And Ronnie is fighting some issues, so he couldn't be there. But with Mike Walton and Brian Conacher and Peter Stemkowski and Bob Pulford, it was so nice to see them and to reminisce about what we did.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good, Naz. How are you?
Good, thanks. Pete Stemkowski. I was very impressed at the interview that he did on Hockey Night in Canada. Was he always a potential media guy?
Oh, sure, sure. He did, as a matter of fact, I think that year he did some DJ work at Chum.
Oh, wow.
I know that because my daughter Anne Marie, her favorite song at that time was Winchester Cathedral. And I remember one afternoon, Peter said, "This song is going out to Anne Marie Keon, Winchester Cathedral."
Cool.
Yeah, so it was nice. So I said to Anne Marie, "Now this is the DJ that played your song."
That's really cool. I'll turn it over to Lou. Lou.
Dave, what a great weekend it was. It was great seeing you and the rest of the clan there, watching them carry the cup in 67. How far did these guys go? I know you guys had a great weekend. How did you enjoy the weekend with some of the players not pulling through and wanting to be there with some of the festivities?
Oh, well, I was, you know, we were all disappointed that Frank and Ronnie couldn't be there, but you know, the five of us who were there, we enjoyed all the festivities. You know, I
I did not go to the game on Saturday, but I went to the skills on Friday night and enjoyed that, and enjoyed especially Thursday night at the when they had the draft, and then they honored us, and so that was a special time for us, for me, and for I think for all the guys that were there.
Of course. Did you end up going to Justin Bieber with Pete? Because I know how adamant he was about going to that concert there Thursday night.
No. That was a little too late for me. But Stemmer was going. I don't think it started till 10:30. And by 10:30, I've already had a half an hour sleep.
David, the 1966-67 Stanley Cup champions have a special heart, a special place in the hearts of so many of us. It's been a long time since we've seen the Stanley Cup paraded on Bay Street. Just going back to that team, the mythology of that team is that they perpetrated these incredible upsets against Chicago and against Montreal. I thought the upset against Chicago may have been a bigger upset, because they finished first 19 points ahead, but I'm not so sure the Montreal series was as big an up. I mean, I know Montreal had already parked the Stanley Cup at Expo 67 and had already designed the stand where it was going to be. But you guys only finished 2 points behind them in the regular season. It's not like you were way behind them, and you guys finished strong that season. You finished 15-6-2. So you guys were rolling into the playoffs on a certain amount of a streak. Do you consider it, looking back on it now after all this time, do you consider it as big an upset as the myth has been created around it?
I don't think so. I think what you say about Chicago is probably right. They had looked past us. They were going to play in their mind's eye. They were going to play Montreal in the finals, and they won the first game. They beat us 6-1, and then we came back and won the next two. And all of a sudden, I think there was some doubt in their minds whether they could beat us. And as the series went on, we got more confident, feeling that we could. We could win the series, and we ultimately did. Playing Canadians, of course, is that's another thing. You know, they have a history. We had a history with them, and we hadn't in the '60s. We up until that time, we hadn't played them in the finals. We'd played them in the semifinals twice, and we beat them. And they played us twice and beat us. So this was the first time in the finals. And we got beat badly the first game, but then we came back and won the next two. And then the series was on. But, you know, being the Canadians, you can't take anything for granted. But I will say that going in, you know, we might not have been the best team in January and half of February, but after that, we played pretty well, and then I say in the month of April, we were the best team.
Ness?
Was there any other Leaf team that you played on that you feel should have won the Cup, other than the ones that did in 67?
Well, our goal from the start of the 60s was to win six Cups, and we had the personnel probably, you know, in 64 and 65, we didn't play as well as we wanted, and obviously missed the opportunity to make it a four-peat and a five-peat, and that's always been disappointing to me that we, you know, you don't have those many opportunities to take advantage of something like that, and we just didn't do it, so that's on us.
David, controversial figure, of course, George Punch Imlach. History shows that he was a successful coach, won quite a few Stanley Cups, although his legacy is somewhat mixed. Your sense of Imlach, you know, what was your relationship like with Punch, and how'd you feel about him as a coach?
Well, I had a good relationship with Punch. I thought he was, as a bench coach, he was, he and Toe Blake were probably even about who they had on the ice and line changes that they made. As far as a tactician, he was lacking, I would say. We always worked. They were always talking about the Leafs having a power play, and it never really materialized. And that was primarily because we didn't work on it. If we played a game and we had a lot of power plays and didn't score, then the next day we'd work on it rather than being working on it all the time. That was one thing. And I think up until 63, he was with everybody else as part of the solution. And then after that, the success that they had, that the team had, he kind of drifted away from that, and that was an unfortunate thing.
Lou?
Dave, what did King Clancy do with putting that big line together with Stemmer, Jimmy Paplin, and I think Bobby Pulford together? What did it do for your line and the rest of the team when they put that line together when Pinch was out of from behind the bench?
Well, the first thing when King took over, he made it fun again. With Punch, you were coming to practice, and the fun was all out of it. But King brought a little enjoyment, and so you look forward to going to the rink. Then he changed that line. He put Pulley on left wing. He put Peter at center, and Jimmy on right wing. And right away, they started to score. So that was that was a big boost for us. And then especially in the playoffs, especially in the Montreal series, anyway, they handled most of the scoring for us, and that was a big boost.
Of course, David, you won the Conn Smythe Trophy that year. After reading a lot of Dave Stubbs' material, I didn't realize they actually awarded the Conn Smythe the day after.
Yeah, they did.
In those days, so they didn't announce it.
I think that particular year they did it the day after.
Yeah.
I think in the previous years they did it that after the game, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But I stand corrected.
You won the Stanley Cup 67 after it was over in 67. Did you have any sense whatsoever? I mean, there was, some of the players were getting a little bit up there in their late 30s, and some, in fact, in their early 40s. Was there any sense at all that maybe the run's over? Do you have any idea? That was the last original Six Cup. Expansion was coming. Some of the players from your team ended up in Oakland and L.A. and some of the other places. Any sense that the great times for the Toronto Maple Leafs were then over?
No, I didn't think so. I thought we still had. I thought we might still have another cup in us. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. I thought we might have had a cup in us in 71. We played the Rangers, and I thought if we could beat the Rangers, we would play Chicago, and I thought we could beat Chicago, and then we'd play Montreal in the finals, and then that would be, that would be up in the air as to who would win that. But I thought that was our best opportunity, because most years when we were in the playoffs, we played the Bruins, and for whatever reason, we had a very hard time with the Bruins. But that was the year that Dryden played, and the Canadiens beat the Bruins in seven games. So, but I thought also that we had Bernie Parent and Jacques Plante playing goal for us, and I thought Bernie should have played all the games. They split, I think, there were three games apiece, but I thought Bernie should have been playing all games.
Is that the year that they threw the mask into the crowd?
That is the year.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we went to New York, and we lost the first game, I think, 5-4, but we should have won that game. We won the second and third, and then we lost the next three.
David, we won't keep you much longer. I'm going to let you go. I just want to remind you of a promise you made when we were chatting off the air the other day. Every time I see you come to these official events, and now I've seen these great pictures with you and David Stubbs, I'm joining you guys. I'm going full bow tie from now on, David.
Well, you got to learn how to tie one.
Well, you promise me the next time we hook up together, you're gonna spend 5-10 minutes teaching me how to tie a bow tie. So
I'll try and do that.
I will take you up.
You can't use a clip on.
No,
I'll stay with the clip on.
Well, you promise me, so I'm going to take you up on that offer.
Yes, I promise you. I'll do it. I'll do it.
And the one thing I've learned about you, David, over the years is you will always fulfill your promises, as you've proved recently, and we thank you for that. David, I can't tell you how much we enjoy talking to you. It's always a distinct pleasure and privilege, and we can't thank you enough.
You're welcome. My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
David Keon, the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf of all time. Gracious, gracious, consummate gentleman. It's been a privilege to be able to talk to him on this show. When we hear that commercial, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary on the air shortly. I mean, some of the highlights of our show over the years have been the privilege of being able to talk to David on our show.
The Leafs had Bernie Parent and Jacques Plante as their goalies.
Yeah, I actually know. This is a true story. I have a friend down in New York who's a hockey fan, New York Rangers fan, and he says he knows the answer to what happened to that mask.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Well, apparently this gentleman that I know says he knows what happened to the mask. But anyways, on that note, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We got Mike Hogan coming up. Let's talk some football. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out their Toronto store on Devonport.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout-out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigamon. As usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. And also joining us, leaping Lou Franceschetti. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the voice of the Toronto Argonauts. When you hear his voice, you know exactly who he is. We're talking about Mike Hoagie Hogan. How are you this morning, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Super Bowl Sunday. How can you not be doing good?
One of the great sporting events in the world, and this one shapes up to be one hell of a game, all kinds of different storylines. But, Mike, your team's the Philadelphia Eagles. Before we get to the KC in San Francisco, what happened to your beloved Eagles this year?
Clock struck midnight about week 12, I think. It was a great start, and you're wondering, okay, what's the quickest way to the Super Bowl? Is it going to be through Dallas, or is it going to be through San Francisco? And all of a sudden, the death spiral started, and the team forgot how to tackle. They couldn't cover anything. The defense was awful. The offense was freelancing, and it just caught up to them. It was an awful, awful, awful second half, and they got what they deserved. It was an awful way to see a very good football team go down in flames.
The battle between Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy. Who wins that battle today, Mike?
Well, yeah, I think it'd be crazy to not bet on Mahomes in terms of who the better quarterback is. He's established himself over the last five or so years as being, elite. His team just wins playoff games and gets to the Super Bowl and wins Super Bowls, and they're there again. And, he just seems to have his best moments and the biggest moments. And that's something that's, I don't know if that can be taught. I mean, that's just something that guys seem to have. And it's a very few quarterbacks at any level that seem to have that it factor, and he's got it. We don't know if Purdy has it yet.
Yeah, but go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, the San Francisco's there. They struggled with Green Bay. They struggled with Detroit. They put up a lot of points against Detroit.
Yeah.
Purdy was good, but I don't think it's because, especially with the fact that he can run, this just seems to be Mahomes' day written all over it.
Yeah, we talk about Mahomes and Purdy and the tremendous advantage that KC has in that respect. But you'll remember this Super Bowl really, really well, Mike. There was this kid named Nick Foles, who took on the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. And that turned out pretty well for the non-GOAT quarterback.
And again, he had to score in the 30s to win, right?
Yeah. And
Purdy's absolutely capable of doing that. And if he doesn't try to do too much, if it's like, okay, Christian McCaffrey here, go run with the football. Let's find a way to get it to Deebo Samuel. George Kittle, we'll find a way to get you open. Ayuk, Brandon Ayuk, just... They've got the guys there to get the job done, and I hate the term game manager because it's been turned into a negative in terms of describing how a quarterback plays. But I think that's really appropriate here for Brock Purdy because he doesn't have to do too much, and I don't think that's a pejorative comment at all. That term, it's become one. But Brock Purdy, take a look, see what's there, and get the ball to your playmakers. And if he can do that, they're going to score a lot of points today.
Lou?
Mike, I want to get away from the Super Bowl a little bit here. What's going on with the coordinators in pro football? It seems like they're changing teams like they change diapers. And every single day there's a new coordinator going somewhere. and then he decides to leave to take another position somewhere else. I just saw Bill O'Brien going to Ohio State as the offensive coordinator, leaving to take the head coaching job at Boston College. But it seems like it all in pro football, they're all moving around like chairs. What's happening there? Aren't they contractually to that one team, or are they all one-year terms?
A lot of them are short, and when it comes to the positive aspect of this, I don't think a team is ever going to stand in the way of seeing one of its employees get a better job. So, I'll even bring it close to home with the Argos. Corey Mace is a dynamite defensive coordinator. We had him last year. He's been here for a couple of years. He got an offer from Saskatchewan to be their head coach. No way we're going to stand in the way of somebody getting the opportunity to become a head coach. A lateral move, if he was asked by another team to be the defensive coordinator, no way. So a team is not going to stand in the way of one of its employees getting a job as one of the 32 head coaches in the National Football League. But you're right. I mean, I think in the last few years, coordinators have really become the scapegoats. And if something goes wrong, the head coach isn't going to take the fall. He's got to do something, and he's going to get rid of the guys that were responsible for the offense, the defense, or the special teams. And that happens a lot. And, maybe in O'Brien's case, it's, maybe he just liked the gig, didn't like what was happening in his situation. Hard to tell. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it does seem to be happening a lot more. It used to be the head coach was the only guy that was going to be scapegoated. We talked about Philadelphia earlier. Nick Sirianni kept his job as head coach, but the two coordinators are gone. So, that seems to be the way that it's going. That's the trickle down, and now the coordinators are the fall guys.
Super Bowl Sunday is a special, it's almost like a national holiday in some respects. There's always Super Bowl parties, people are getting together, the ratings are off the charts. It's not so much a football game, but a spectacle. In entertainment, they have the halftime show. They got Taylor Swift flying in from Tokyo today. I always like to take the opportunity. I like to go around the horn with all of you guys. Your most memorable one or two or three, however many, but the Super Bowls that stick out in your mind. Absolutely. I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to start off the discussion, then I'm going to turn it over to you, Mike, and then Naz and Lou. Of course, for me, I always remember the first one, and it wasn't called the Super Bowl back then. It was called the AFL-NFL Championship, and it was KC in Green Bay. It was in the Coliseum, and it wasn't even sold out. The real modern era of the Super Bowl started. And the guy who took it to the completely different level was, of course, Broadway Joe, which was the third year. And that was Super Bowl. And the Baltimore Colts were overwhelming favorites over the New York Jets. And Joe Namath wagged his finger and said, no, the Jets are going to take this Super Bowl. I'll remember that like it was yesterday. What even was more memorable for me was the one that came the year after, because everybody said that one was a fluke. But then the KC Chiefs laid a beating on the Minnesota Vikings the year after, and then that's when parity was really achieved between the AFL and the NFL. Of course, they merged and everything, the rest is history. Mike, in the course of your reflection, Which are your most memorable Super Bowls?
Well, I'm an Eagles fan, so we've got one win.
Which I just alluded to a couple minutes ago. Yeah.
But, the Philly special play, it was a fourth down gamble in the dying seconds from the 1 yard line, or 2 yard line, I guess, against New England, heavily favored in that game. And they run a reverse option where they throw the ball to the quarterback, and he was wide open. And it's just the intestinal fortitude to call that play there was just remarkable. But, I'll bring up a play as opposed to a game that won a game. And as a linebacker that very people forget, his name is Mike Jones. But he made a play at the end of the St. Louis-Tennessee game back in 98, 99, where it was an open field tackle on Kevin Dyson at the 1 yard line to win the game. And I think it's the best play in Super Bowl history. And I don't think it's particularly close. It was a remarkable play. And I'll throw in a memorable halftime show, Prince. That was just ridiculously good.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Absolutely. Nass?
In a bad way, it's got to be Scott Norwood, wide right.
Oh, my God, you had to bring that up, hey, Nass.
From a Bills fan, that's
please.
What I remember.
Yeah, you know what? That's got memories for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Thanks for that, Ness. Lou?
I've got four. Okay. I got the first one, Dallas and Green Bay in the Tundra.
That wasn't a Super Bowl, Lou.
Okay.
It was an NFL title game.
The second one.
Yeah.
I think that was the second one of the AFL and the NFL. The other one was a Jackie Smith drop pass. The third one was the Guerrero Premium trying to be a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the fourth one is, you brought up Kevin Dyson there. How about, was it Gilmore that intercepted?
In the Seattle game. Russell Wilson.
And New England game right at the goal line where they had Marshall Lynch, could have easily ran it in.
Yeah, that's Pete Carroll. He's going to have to own that one for a long, long time. Why he's throwing in that situation? Good one there, Lou. Mike, where do you think what's happening with Bill Belichick? It looks like his time's passed. It doesn't look like anybody wants to hire him.
I think he'd like to coach, but for whatever reason, teams are staying away from him. And you know, I forget what the number was, but somebody posted the stat that he had as a head coach without Tom Brady, and it wasn't good.
No.
So I think maybe some people are a little hesitant for that reason. But, you know, Bill Belichick's resume is as good, if not better, than any coach in the history of the National Football League. So you would think teams would be lined up. So there's something going on there. You know, I thought it was fait accompli that he was going to go to Atlanta. But for whatever reason, they went in another direction. So it looks like the dance card is pretty much filled at this stage, and he doesn't have a partner. So maybe he waits. Maybe he becomes a guy that comes in the middle of a season, or he just waits, takes an off season to kind of recharge and gets at it again next year. But I think next year, again, there will be a lot of discussion about Bill Belichick being a head coach in the NFL.
Guys, we got about 4 minutes left. We got a huge game later on. I think they start just after 6 o'clock. Let's go around the horn here and let's see how everybody shapes this game up. What's your prediction, Mike? And how do you see the game unfolding?
I think Kansas City, if they can get out to a lead early, I think that really bodes well for them. I think they're better suited to play. Come from behind simply because of the quarterback differential, and if you get a guy like Purdy, who's still a newcomer in the National Football League in terms of experience, if you put him in that situation, it's his first time in the big game. It might be a little problematic. If Kansas City can get a 2-score lead fairly early in the game, I think it's done. But I'm thinking this is going to be a fairly high-scoring, last guy with the ball wins kind of game.
I don't disagree. Naz?
I initially took Kansas City, but I'm going to change my mind and go with San Francisco.
Oh, you changed.
Yeah.
When did that come to you?
In the last 20 minutes.
Okay. That's not what he was saying on the way down in the car this morning. Okay.
I just think they've got more talent than Kansas City, but Kansas City has the better quarterback. I think Purdy's going to have a big day today. And I take the Frisco.
Yeah, I'd love to see him. Plus, you know, he's got a great story.
They're the favorites, and they're favorites for a reason, right?
A point and a half, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It just that tells me they think it's an even game. Lou, where do you see this game going?
Well, I'll say the same thing I said 2 weeks ago. Stevie Spagnuolo is going to come up with a scheme that's going to stop that San Francisco offense just like he did Baltimore. And I think Deebo Samuel is going to be a big key on San Francisco. So I'm liking San Fran right now, but I want to see what KC does with Samuel and McCaffrey trying to take them out of their comfort zone.
Mike, before we let you go, real quick, everybody's saying San Francisco's got the better team, better talent. They've struggled at times in key situations. I mean, they were literally being run off the field by Detroit. Didn't look that great against Green Bay. Baltimore ran them off the field. How do you analyze that? And are there some concerns there?
But there have to. No team is perfect. I don't think there's a powerhouse in this league at this time. They're both really good teams, but there's not that, you know, sort of dynasty team, although Kansas City's been getting it done. San Francisco, you know, I kind of contradict myself saying they're not built to come from behind after what they did to Detroit, but Detroit's defense is a little bit different than Kansas City's. So it's, you know, I just hope for a good game today, quite frankly, and I think we're going to get one.
I think we are. Mike, we've sort of run out of time, so we can't ask you about the Argos, but we'll certainly get you back on before the when the Argos preseason gets going. We want to catch up on that field as well. Thanks so much.
I hope so. Argonauts.ca for tickets.
Awesome, Mike. You know how much we appreciate you always joining us. Thanks so much.
I always appreciate you guys asking me. Thanks so much, and enjoy the game.
We will, Mike Hogan. Guys, Lou, the 10 o'clock hour is coming up, so I'm going to just thank you. And like I said, if you need any help on the Kypros front, Naz and I are here for you, okay?
But, maybe bring him on the show and see if we can have a verbal spat.
He's ducking us. He doesn't, you know what? See if you can get him on. We'll see what we can do. Naz, I'm going to give you last word, but before I turn it over to you for last word, I'm just going to say, you know, I did that commercial for Pizzaville. I think the guys at Halls should call me up and say I should be doing a commercial for Halls. Got me through an hour on this voice. Great product.
You see, the peppermint
tea, I should be doing a commercial for them as well. Anyways, Naz, I'll give you last word.
You just did, Wally. You just did.
Okay. Last word.
Everybody, have a good time and watch the Super Bowl game today. And don't drink too much, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.